My Facebook conversation with liberals. Since I believe dialogue with those who hold views different from mine is important in this diverse culture, I often respond to comments on IFI's Facebook page from dissenters. Here is a recent conversation I had with two women, Melanie Silver and Keely Wells. Since their comments represent commonly held beliefs, it behooves conservatives not merely to be aware of them, but to know how to respond to them. In the service of helping equip IFI readers in that task, here is our conversation. Melanie Silver wrote, "I was just reading the agenda on your page. So how does the LGBTQ agenda hurt everyone?" I responded, "The LGBTQ agenda harms everyone in many ways. It promotes the false assumption that homoeroticism is morally and ontologically equivalent to heterosexuality. It was responsible for the destruction of marriage through the imposition by five justices of the view that marriage has no intrinsic connection to sexual differentiation. Many homosexual men do not believe that sexual monogamy is a necessary or good part of marriage, and even many homosexuals believe that their view of sexual monogamy will eventually transform even heterosexual marriages. The LGBTQ agenda has led to the commodification of children, as homosexuals in intrinsically sterile unions believe they are entitled to procure children. The LGBTQ agenda has led to co-ed restrooms, locker rooms, and shelters. The agenda has led to the homosexualization of government schools, including even kindergartens, in which government employees teach other people's children to affirm homosexuality and gender confusion. Their beliefs are not facts. The LGBTQ agenda has resulted in minors being given sterility-inducing cross-sex hormones and having their bodies surgically mutilated in a futile attempt to become the other sex. So while minors can access medical help to mutilate their bodies in an effort to reject their unwanted biological sex, laws in several states prohibit minors from accessing medical help in rejecting their unwanted sexual orientation. The LGBTQ agenda has led to the most dramatic erosion of First Amendment protections in the history of this country." Another Facebook commenter, Keely Wells, asked this, "Where's your sense of live and let live?" I responded, "Who is it that demands that Christian bakers, florists, and photographers make products and provide services for a type of event that violates their deeply held beliefs? It's not conservatives, and such imperial commands do not reflect a live and let live philosophy. Who insisted on jettisoning sexual differentiation from the legal definition of marriage, thereby imposing on all of the country their belief that sexual differentiation is irrelevant to marriage? Yep, it's the live and let live crowd. And what about women who want to share private spaces with only women? Will leftists allow them to live and let live, or will they force them to share restrooms, locker rooms, shelters, and showers with persons of the opposite sex? Who is coming into public schools insisting that all children be taught leftist assumptions about homoeroticism and gender dysphoria? These indoctrinators hold a life philosophy about as far from live and let live as one can get. And where is the live and let live philosophy when it comes to supposedly unwanted humans in the womb? Do liberals advocate that society should let these humans live?" Melanie Silver again wrote, "Gee, I don't know where you people get your information, but I have never encountered any of this. I am a straight woman, married with two sons. Schools teach nothing about gay sex in sex ed. If you have a business, you deal with the public, therefore that means everyone. If you don't like it, don't go into business. They aren't forcing people to share any space with the opposite sex. If you mean transgender, then you are way off. As far as abortion, if you don't have a vagina, you have no business legislating anything about it. And if you do have one and are for laws against women's health care, you are a hypocrite. You care for the unborn, but what about after they are born and need food, clothing, and shelter? That's when people like you disappear. Just about everything you said is what the alt-right is doing. So don't go preaching to me this BS about LGBTQ agenda. You go look in the mirror. I responded, in many schools, sex education does discuss homosexuality, as do many bullying prevention programs. And health classes discuss homosexuality under social and emotional learning. High school English classes teach any number of books that affirm homosexuality, and social studies classes study resources that affirm homosexuality. The business owners who have been sued do indeed serve everyone, but they have no moral obligation to provide goods and services for types of events that violate their consciences. The bakers and florists and now calligraphers who have been sued serve homosexuals. What they refuse to do is provide their goods and services for a type of event they have never provided goods and services for, same-sex faux marriages, which are the antithesis of actual marriages. Yes, gender dysphoric people who are attempting to masquerade as the sex they wish they were are attempting to force their way into opposite-sex restrooms, locker rooms, and shelters. Men have just as much right to speak out against feticide as women, just as men have just as much right to speak out against female genital mutilation as women do. Slaughtering unborn humans is a human rights issue, and slaughtering unborn humans is the antithesis of health care. Do leftists actually know what goes on in crisis pregnancy centers? These centers provide adoption services for those women who feel unable or unwilling to care for a child. They provide for the physical needs of new mothers, including giving cribs, strollers, sheets, diapers, and clothing. They provide parenting classes for new parents, all free of charge. So the tiresome leftist claim that abortion opponents disappear after babies are born is either a profoundly ignorant claim or a bald-faced lie. Melanie Silver. A transgender child is not interested in anything in a bathroom except going pee. Restrooms have stalls, so no one sees anything. All genders share bathrooms at home. How will you know if the person in the stall next to you is transgender unless you look, which makes you the pervert? It's people like you who are so against anything that doesn't conform to their own twisted view of the world that they try to push it on everyone. And if you tell me God said so, I have a mental hospital I can recommend because you are delusional. She goes on, sex and gender are two different things. Several societies subscribe to more than two genders. There are female to male transgendered people who share these spaces with cis people as well. The only reason you are getting your knickers in a twist over this is because of a fictional book, that is, the Bible, that has a bunch of stories that contradict each other. Only when the parents brainwash their kids into hating is when the problems start. I responded, at home, bathrooms are shared by close family members, not strangers. They are co-ed only until later elementary school. By about third or fourth grade, sisters and brothers no longer want to share bathrooms except for teeth brushing or hair combing. When you ask the question, how will I know if the person in the stall next to me is transgender, I think what you really mean is, how will I know if the person in the stall next to me is a man or a woman? Well, women used to be able to trust that everyone in restrooms or locker rooms with them or their daughters were persons of the same sex, but no more. How will you know if the man in the restroom or locker room with you is gender dysphoric or not? And what possible difference should it make to women if the man walking through their locker rooms likes his penis or not? You do know that those who choose to identify as trans don't need to cross-dress, cross-sex hormone dope, or be surgically mutilated in order to access women's private spaces. If objective sex is irrelevant when it comes to spaces in which humans engage in intimate bodily activities, then why not make all restrooms, locker rooms, shelters, semi-private hospital rooms, co-ed for everyone? Why allow only gender dysphoric men into women's restrooms and locker rooms? Why not allow cisgender men in as well? Doesn't allowing gender dysphoric men to use women's restrooms while prohibiting cisgender men from doing likewise constitute discrimination based on gender identity? So, if sex and gender are two different things, with sex being an immutable objective phenomenon and gender being a subjective, often fluid phenomenon, why should restroom, locker room, shelter, and semi-private hospital rooms correspond to gender identity as opposed to objective immutable sex? If separate stalls provide sufficient privacy to separate objective boys from objective girls, then why don't separate stalls provide sufficient privacy to separate objective boys from objective boys who wish they were girls? If gender dysphoric boys should not be required to use restrooms with those who don't share their gender identity, why should cisgender girls be forced to use restrooms with those whose sex they don't share? The reality is, most women don't want to do their business in a stall next to an unfamiliar, unrelated man doing his. This natural and good feeling of modesty and desire for privacy derives from sexual differentiation and is the reason we have single-sex, multiple-occupancy restrooms virtually everywhere. Well, neither woman responded to my questions, but I'm used to that.